I got it all in my boogie book.
Yeah.
My boogie book.
It's right there.
I got it all in my boogie book.
Bookkeeper. 24/7.
I got it all in my boogie book.
We in our bag now.
All in my boogie.
Yo. Hey. Yo. Yo. Hey, welcome to the show.
Hello.
24/7, Lord, hit him with the glow.
Bling.
New podcast, and we do it for your soul. Bookkeeper 24, we do it for the bros. The true fellowship with the saints, boy, you know.
You know.
I keep the book, but I used to keep the foe. Hit it in my heart, and I put it on my phone.
Okay.
Sincere milk, now it's time for you to grow.
Bro.
And hear the good news, for it's time for you to go.
Powered by TBK247.com. Welcome to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast with my husband and your host, Daryl Kemp. Thank you, as well as our new listeners, for joining us. On this podcast, we interview artists that we feel should be on everyone's radar and discuss not just music, but their testimony, musical influences, and other topics throughout our culture. This podcast is for the people who love Christian perspectives and Christian hip-hop. On the 19th episode, Daryl chops it up with Christian hip-hop artist Colby Savage. They discuss the death of his dad and nephew, how people react to his music now, plus his testimony and his latest project, Positive Parables, the PVO album, Volume 2. Also on the 19th episode, Colby talks about working with Brian T. from Kingdom Music, and Colby gets emotional when Daryl reads a remembrance tribute post about his grandmother. Don't forget, if you really want to help us grow, smash that like button, subscribe to the channel, and hit the alert button to be notified for the most in-depth show in hip-hop, the Bookkeeper 247 podcast. Thanks for joining us, Colby Savage. Without further delay, let's go!
What up, family? It's your man, Hugh Holler, and you are now rocking with the most in-depth show in hip-hop.
Yo, what's good, y'all? It's your boy, BRM.
Hey, yo, this is D-Rock.
What's good? This is your boy, Intellect.
Yo, what up, everybody? This is Mitch Durrell.
What's good, everybody? This your boy, TC, and you rocking with the Bookkeeper 24/7 podcast, whose hands always on that plow. So keep it tuned in, because we in the field, man, changing the culture for God. Let's go.
Colby Savage, No Better Place featuring Quest and Maka Soulfly.
I found a better place in the Lord's presence. To find peace, I had to ask myself some hard questions. Like, why is my soul feeling dark inside? You fathered me from a sea, fix this heart of mine. And while you read it, don't forget my mind. I need you to renew it for the 100th time. I need you like a student needs a teacher, like a player needs a coach. I receive your word with hope. Lord, please order my steps. Keep me on my toes every day. I pray for help like Abba, Abba. I can't make it by myself. Abba, Abba. Pick me up from where I fell. Yeah, never worry. His grace is sufficient. I surrender all my soul in submission. He kept me whole through death and division. With him, I know why my flow is real in the streets. I've been in the clubs. I've been in relationships that taught me not to trust. I've been all around, in and out of town. Searching for the truth. This is what I found. I've been at the top, but I've been at rock bottom. Seen a whole lot, more money, more problems. I've been all around, in and out of town. Searching for the truth. Well, this is what I found.
By the spirits of my ancestors, gotta watch who you around, study them hand gestures. Nights I had to skip dinner and breakfast, walking with the devil, but I ran separate. Once I looked into his eyes, I got a sense of his pride. I felt the pressure when I looked in the sky. Hooked in stride, got me looking alive. Was going backwards to my old folks, pushed me aside and say he took in his time to create this unbruisable mind. I call mine to unusual times, daydreaming about a better day. Elevate, segregate your mind and go and meditate. Educate your peers. It's up to us to show a better way. Levitate. I've been in and out of town, going around, but I grew up.
I
left my vices, then I blew up. What goes around comes around. What goes up coming down. We only tenements, and God is the
truth. I've been in the streets. I've been in the clubs. I've been in relationships that taught me not to trust. I've been all around, in and out of town, searching for.
What up, what's up, and what it do, Kobe Savage? Welcome to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast.
Man, it's a pleasure and such a blessing to be a part of your podcast, man. I'm glad that you invited me to share your platform with you today. Thankful, man. Thankful to be up this early in the morning. And, you know, God is good. But, yeah, thankful to be talking to you, brother, for real.
Yes, sir. And this is when this come out, it'll be after Father's Day. But happy Father's Day to you and all the brothers out there listening.
Yeah, same to you, brother. Happy Father's Day, man.
All right, so let's jump into it. Let's take it back to the beginning. Tell us where you're from, Coach.
I am originally from Commerce, Texas, born and raised. A little small community within Commerce called Norris Community. Back when I was a kid, you know, they called it the hole or whatever. But, you know, I live across the tracks in Commerce. That's where I grew up at. You know, then I ended up moving up to Dallas after I went to college here for a little while.
Okay, so going to college brought you to Dallas?
Well, it was part of the process, I think. You know, when I graduated from high school, I got a small academic scholarship to go to Texas A&M Commerce here in Commerce. And so I went there as a freshman, sophomore, and then I had got and ended up getting a son. And when I got my son, I decided to move to Dallas and start working. And then music took me there too, you know, a little bit of music, because we was doing music here in my neighborhood, but me and some guys. But growing up here in Commerce, there was never no platforms to do your music, like no clubs really or anything like that. And most times when we would get together and throw a party or something, it would always end violently. So we never really got a chance to do music here as much as when I went to Dallas. So music had a little bit to do with it, but mostly just trying to make some money to stay out of jail. You know, don't want to be in jail behind child support. And, you know, I had a son, so school was cool, but I just wanted to, you know, start making some money.
Yes, sir. That sounds a little bit like my testimony. I actually graduated in San Antonio at John Marshall High School. So I called San Antonio home, got a little small athletic scholarship, end up getting my ex pregnant, end up going in the military. So we share a little common ground on that right there.
Yeah. So you know, sir, how it is, you know, when that responsibility comes in, it's like either, you know, it was like, okay, I can either try to stay in school, but I'm not really making money. But, you know, I got a kid now and these bills are starting to come in. So I was just trying to take care of my family, man.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I love to hear testimony and music on Sin, Sorrow, and Salvation. The song Storms, I heard just that testimony. On Storms, I heard your testimony about not selling drugs to your dad. Plus, yes, I heard you speak on him getting murdered and your nephew, if I'm not mistaken. Can you share that story with us and what that song means to you?
Yeah, that song is pretty close to my heart. Storms, yeah, salute, man. Salute to my brother with the Slap Movement, King Ashoka, who shot the video. Salute to the brother that sung on the hook, too, Brother Gerald. He actually was a street guy, went in and did some time in the feds, came out and had given his life to Christ, actually started pastoring. He's still pastoring now. And that's the guy that's singing the chorus. But just a little story behind the song. It was a personal song, all the stuff in there, stuff that went on with my life, which like most of my music is. But my dad, rest in peace, he had me when he was young, pretty much the same age that I had my son. But my dad's father was murdered when he was about 5 or 6. You know what I mean? He was murdered down here in this neck of the woods in a city called Greenville, Texas. Mm. And so my dad grew up kind of without a dad. And then he ended up having me when he was a young man. And he was still struggling with a lot of different things too. His mother is the one that raised me for two weeks old. So he would be in and out, and you know, he was, you know, struggling with drug addictions, and then he was sometimes in the streets, and then he would be in and out of prison. Did probably about a total of about 15 years. And when he came home, he ended up getting back in the streets and getting involved with drugs again. And then I came when I was about 27. I was about a couple of weeks from my birthday. I came home to my grandmother's house because I was living in Dallas at the time. But I had came home to visit, and when I got to my grandmother's house that night, he was laying on the couch. She was like, "Well, help him get up." And when I went to touch him, he was cold. He had already passed away. Not exactly sure why he had passed, but at least I think my thought at the time was at least he's in the house and he's not somewhere on the streets and then. But there was a time when he was smoking and he had asked, I was selling crack or whatever, and he was asking me for some, and I told him no. And you know, he went and told my grandmother about it, who my life, even now that she's passed, rest in peace, in 2020, I've always wanted to make her proud of me. So when he did that, I just was like, this is not for me. Kind of was able to see the evilness behind it, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know, fast forward, you know, living in Dallas, my nephew, my younger sister's son, Nigel, he was over in North Dallas, over in some apartments by Walnut and Abrams, and he was messing around in the streets too, probably 17, 18, and a guy apparently came over there and he killed him. And that was really a big thing for me with my nephew, because when that happened to my dad, I was still young, still trying to figure things out myself and still kind of in the streets myself doing stuff. But when my nephew had passed, I had gotten older and, well, not passed, but when my nephew was murdered, I had gotten older. And I was going through a lot of personal stuff myself in my own life. And then that happened to my nephew. And then I think that was a situation where, I was still doing street music. I was about to sign a deal with some street guys in Dallas. And we were somewhere together over in North Dallas off of 75 and Steppington. And some guys came in there in the apartment we was at. And they were shooting up the apartment, tried to kick in the front door. And we ended up getting out of that situation. And so I was thinking about all the times in Commerce that happened, growing up in Commerce and being in situations where, you know, I was with somebody and people started shooting, maybe the person I was with got shot, or I may be over here and as soon as I leave, they come shoot up this place and people get shot. And I just started thinking, like, why am I always in these situations where, you know, it's so violent? And I'm not even really a violent person, but I'm in violent situations all the time. And just come to the conclusion that music was the common denominator. The type of music that I was making was kind of putting me in situations. At least that's what I concluded. And so, you know, that all that stuff was happening at the time that I said, I was just like, man, I'm not feeling where I'm at. This is a dark place and I'm tired. I was so tired, bro. Just tired, man. You know, just tired, man. And I was needing something different. And ended up just screaming out to the Lord, and he showed up and my life changed.
Yes, sir. Amen. Yeah, that's a lot of baggage when you was that we carry on our shoulders a lot of times. You know the word, you know, he said he'll give us rest. And you made me think about when you were explaining that I got caught up in the streets myself, hustling.
Yeah.
End up the police really slowed me down, called a trafficking case. But I remember that my uncle used to tell me that a hustler hustles everything and everybody, right?
Yeah.
And when I got out, you know, he was telling me, you're not no hustler. And I had to make up my mind not to go back, but I was so busy trying to prove a point to him that I had lost my way and lost myself. You know, I wasn't brought up like that, wasn't brought up in the streets, but was out there a little over 20 years, right? So inhabited a lot of bad habits, started grinding, got the weight up, you know, got caught again with the trafficking case. And it just reminded me what you was talking about, having to walk away all that baggage you was carrying on your shoulders and the music as well. I remember I heard Bizzle make a quote one day about, I think it was in a song, an old song of his, where he said, people don't do drive-bys listening to Luther Vandross, right? So, right. You know, a lot of, wow, you know, yeah. A lot of times the music, and then we know where Satan was over in heaven, And I don't think people realize the power of music and the message in their music and how it affects other people around them as well as themselves.
Right, right. And I think that's one of the things that the enemy has been successful in using against us is entertainment. Because, you know, if I was an enemy, that's I would be using stuff that people like and that people are, you know, that people use every day. Music is something that we always use for different reasons. And it's sad that we try to downplay the power of music when we see the power of music. I mean, some of these artists that are popular, you know, they make an album and millions of people go out and support it. Millions of people go and click and watch the video. Millions of people show up sometimes to these performances. People go out and buy their records. That in itself is power. That doesn't happen unless there's some sort of power behind what you're saying. So it's sad that we just try to downplay the significance of what we are saying. I got it from the scripture, and I building that relationship with God and just starting to believe everything that's in there, and standing on everything that's in there. You know, when it says, you know, the power of life and death is in the tongue, and those who love it will eat the fruit of it. So I see it, and you know, you get on the outside of it, and even when I was in it, like I said, the common denominator for me was the music. And unfortunately, to just being blatantly honest, if I wasn't doing the music that I was doing at that time, I probably wouldn't even be around a lot of the people that I ended up being around. I wouldn't have been going to the locations that I was going to. It was all just a drive to do music, my passion for music. I wanted to make music under any circumstances. So I was just going places and doing things that really was out of my character. And it really almost got me killed. So I recognize the power of it. And then you look at people like Biggie and Tupac, two of the greatest rappers, definitely of our generation. And a lot of people look at their greatness, but they fail to look at these guys spoke their fate into existence. Like all they talked about was being murdered, or, you know, murdered somebody else. Or they talked about, even the albums was, you know, kind of stuff talking about death. Biggie's album, Born to Die, I think Ready to Die, and then Life After Death. He was dead before his second album even came out. So that's power. You know, when we always talk about, I'm going to manifest this, I'm going to pray and I'm going to manifest this, or I'm going to think about this. Even people that don't believe in God, they say, I want to manifest this. Well, if you manifest something, that means you're thinking about something, you're talking about something, and you're believing that it's going to come into fruition. And so we overlook it with the music, though. Mm-hmm. You know, all this negative stuff that we've been listening to for years and years and years, and we wonder why our communities are in an uproar, our communities are in chaos, our communities they seem to be in a state of confusion. And we, you know, we don't want to say it's the music, because then it's like, well, it's just entertainment. It's just, we just talking. But the proof is in the pudding. These guys are getting record deals and they're dead before the record even come out, before they first come out now.
That's so right.
I just feel like we're downplaying the power of what we're saying. Like you said with Bizzle, if you play a Luther Vandross record, they're probably not going to be doing drive-bys. When I gave my life to Christ completely and started to walk in it and not just talk it, because I realized that I spent a lot of years, you know, how most people do. You pray and you go to church, but when you leave, you back to doing your own thing. You're back to living the way you want to live, kind of talking the way you want to talk, and definitely thinking the way that you want to think. But when I actually really gave my life to Christ and started walking in it, just like I was talking, and then I saw the transformation, I saw the power, and I saw different things that I didn't see before. And so we used to do a hood fest in our community, but when I made my transition and guys were asking me to be a part of it, I said I couldn't unless it was something positive, something that's going to be a benefit and not a hindrance to people or a problem for people. We spent too many years doing that. Let's do something different. So we started doing the unit in the community cookout. This is our sixth year doing it, and we pretty much service the entire community so far as providing all the food, all of the fun, festivities, and everything is free for that day. And it's pretty much caters towards our elders and our youth. But one of the key things is the music, because we do have a couple of live DJs that come out and play. But we keep it positive. Like, you can still play rap, you can still do these different things, but it can't be nothing negative. It can't be nothing with no curse words. And we do that because I know that music controls the atmosphere. If we have gangster rap playing, those elders, they're not gonna wanna sit down there and hear that all day. These people that got old, they don't wanna hear all this disrespectful talk, you know? And and the kids, you know, you playing that stuff around the kids. And then, you know, the middle generations, which is us, you know, a lot of that music, you know, if you're not where you need to be at, I'm gonna say what wanna be, but need to be at mentally, a lot of that music turns people up, as they say. Now, you know, that's everybody right. Wanna drink and get drunk and take off their shirts and do that. But since we've been doing it and we've regulated the music, it's been just peaceful. Peaceful, 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 peaceful. And that's a large part due to the music.
Yes, sir.
I truly, truly believe that. I stand on that, you know?
Yes, sir. And I'll continue with that just a little bit more before we move on. I was reading an article, and I hadn't fact-checked it, but they said that music is the only thing that you can learn in your sleep. That's why a lot of women, when they're pregnant, they play music while the baby is in the womb, right? Yeah, I guess I came out listening to R&B, Teddy Pendergrass. Yeah. I'm telling my age now and things like that, right? Shirley Murdoch and all of them back then. What I also read in that article was the power of music, right? So they were saying how these secular rappers get these contracts, right? And then most of the labels, even though now I know we have a lot of independent artists out there, and I even heard you speaking about that in an interview about being independent over a label, right? Mm-hmm. But a lot of the labels turn right around, and we know about the contracts. You can't say Jesus, but you can say God. You have to disrespect our women and talk about guns and some of that in these contracts, right? But the label turns around and takes some of the profit and invests it in private prisons. So what does that tell you about the music that they're feeding us, our culture, our young children, and everybody else? If they know this music is going to cause a certain, what the young folks say, vibe, right? And get you in trouble, why do they turn around and take their profit money, invest in private prison?
Yeah, I believe, you know, it's definitely a system that has been created that's not for us. I think that we have to first accept that, but I want to take the power back. I do understand exactly what you're saying, and I've heard some other brothers in regards to the drug game kind of explain it. You know, they kind of say, well, and I'm going to say, quote unquote, they say the white man or the government, you know, they brought the drugs into the community. They brought the guns into the community. And my thing is, well, okay, even if that's true, why do we pick it up and sell it to our own people? Why do we pick it up and shoot our own people? We have to take our power back. Even these record labels, okay, yeah, we know this system is not set up for us. It's been that way. That's probably not going to change, but we have to take our power back and say, you know what? Yeah, they got this in this contract. I want to get this deal, but I'm not going to feed this poison to my community anymore. And a lot of these rappers I've even heard say in interviews that I don't let my kids listen to that stuff. My kids don't listen to my music. I wouldn't down let my kids listen to my music. To me, that's you know, that says a lot there. You know, if they're not letting their own kids listen to it, why are we letting our kids listening to it? And if to be honest with you, if my kid can't listen to it, I don't need to be listening to it. I was once a kid too. That's what we were. Another disconnect that we have in our minds. You know, we was all kids before.
Absolutely.
If it ain't good enough for our kids, it ain't good enough for us either.
You know, that's right. That's right.
We were kids, and then we become adults, and then we become elders if we live long enough. But we all the same. It's just a process in life. And so if that's not good for my kid's mind mentally, then, and it's an adult doing it, then it ain't good for my mind either. I don't need to be hearing about who you killed, how many different women that you've had sex with, how much drugs you sold, how much drugs you've taken. how much money is in your bank account. I really don't need to hear any of that stuff, to be honest with you.
That's right.
But it's the music of our culture. It's the music that we listen to. But I just feel like we have to take the power back and say, we're going to change the narrative. We're going to do something different. But the issue is that, and this is just a fact, and most of the people that are getting record deals are street guys.
That's
and
right.
They say, well, why these guys are so gangster and so violent? Well, these guys are already street guys. They just street guys getting record deals. They're already in the game. They're already gang members. They're just giving the gang members the record deals now. Because why? That's what's selling. Violence and all these different things is selling, like you said. So I just feel like that's not the structure of it. And especially now being a born again believer, if we believe the enemy has anything to do with it, then that's probably not going to change. So we have to change as individual and say, we're going to change the narrative. You know, I was telling somebody that, you know, ain't it amazing how many rappers there are in the world? Now we're talking about rappers that haven't made it, rappers that may probably will never make it, and the rappers that have made it. There's a lot of rappers. Almost every corner, there's a guy with a pen and a pad, and he's wanting to get on the microphone, whether he got skills or not. And I was starting to think, why is that? Why are, and it's mostly black men, why are we led to that microphone? Why do we want to speak? Why do we feel like we have something important to say? And I was looking at the scripture, and it was a scripture that says, we are a peculiar people. We are actually from a royal priesthood. So that's why I started thinking, maybe that's the reason why we all want to pick up the mic, because it, in us, deep in us, is to be preachers, is to preach the word of God, is to deliver the gospel to the captives. You know, the Israelites, when they were set free by Moses, the whole purpose of that was for them to go into the promised land and to live in such a way for God and his rules that the other people who were serving all these other guys would say, wow. Now, who is this God they're serving? This seems to be the real God. And so God will get the praise, because we all created as instruments of praise. We all have really the same purpose, to bring praise to the kingdom of God, whether that be through music, preaching, however you choose to do it. But as the enemy loves to do, he perverts everything that God sends out as a good thing. And he perverted to me the preaching into the rapping. And you know, rapping is okay, but I'm gonna have them rapping about everything that I promote, everything that represents me. They can say God, they can say God gave them a talent. I wouldn't even be here without God. But we all know that a man is not defiled by what goes in his mouth, but what comes out. So,
Absolutely. So
the enemy is very tricky and very clever in his ways, and he's using who he wants to use to promote his kingdom. And you know, we got to just do what we do on our side to let the truth be known. And hopefully some of these people that's living in that way can see the truth. Because some of these guys are powerful. They have powerful voices. They have a great following. They have talent. And just think if they were to use it for good.
Amen. Yeah, I like that perspective. I like how you laid that out too.
Amen.
Yes, sir. I seen where you gave a huge tribute to your grandmother. Yes. In the tribute, you had a perspective, though, that I had never seen on social media. So I'm going to read this tribute to the people out there listening, to the family. You said, my grandmother, who was my absolute best friend, loved Jesus. She introduced me to him when I was a boy. She's always told me that he was the way. But not only did she tell me about him, she lived for him. She told me a story once about her and her pastor, L.K. McGill. She said they prayed that she would have a house to raise her family. And soon after she received the keys, she told me about all the people she helped, about those who slept under the roof. She said Jesus provided through prayer, fasting, and fellowshipping with those who believe. My grandmother accomplished more on her own than most who have helped. If I could bring her back, I wouldn't. She ran a race worth respecting, worth honoring, worth admiring. She longed to hear those faithful words from our Lord. Well done, my good and faithful servant. So as for me, in the time I have remaining, I will always love and respect and honor you forever. Tell us how your grandmother impacted your life and how her legacy impacts your life now.
That's amazing. I'm glad we're not live right now, y'all, because that touched me, even though those are my own words, you know, that really touched me hearing them back. Yeah, as I said, she raised me from 2 weeks old, and she always took me to church, and that was part of my upbringing, going to church and watching her praise the Lord and watching her in service. And I always say she introduced me to Jesus, but my own experiences created the relationship that I have now. But if it had not been for her, I would not know him. You know, going to church was a mandatory thing growing up with her, going to revivals and going to different church functions, having to be in the Easter program and say Easter speeches and stuff like that. You know, that was my life growing up. I seen a lot inside that church, that Pentecostal church, a whole lot of things that sometimes now my eyes still question, did I see that? Did I actually see that inside the church? You know, there were some things that I seen that as a little boy that I had trouble registering, and she was able to help me through those times. And but it was some things that I seen that I knew that it had to be some type of God, something good, because some of the stuff that I seen was bad. And I was like, man, if there isn't a God, then we're in trouble. We're definitely in trouble. There's no point in being here, and while we're here, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. But then it just made me say, man, it got to be something good. But she just she went through a lot. She went through a whole lot in her life and marriages and stuff. She only was married once when I was a kid, and you know, it wasn't a very good marriage. And she ended up having to divorce him, and she was always a person that I just could admire, because you know, she had diabetes, she lost her leg, and then she went through the cancer and she lost her breast. And I kid you not, man, you know, with me saying those different things, you would think, oh man, that's sad, you know. And it, I guess there's a place for that too, but you would never see it in her. You would never see it or hear it, you know. She just was always, you know, upbeat and always joyful. And I, you know, like that God said, the joy that I give you is not from the world, but the joy that I give you, you know, the world didn't give it and can't take it. And it surpasses all understanding, the peace that she had, because I would be thinking, why are you not depressed and crying and mad and, you know, woe is me, you know? But she would always say, why not me? Why not me? What makes me better than anyone else, you know? This is what it is. But she was always concerned about how I was doing. How are you doing? Is this okay? Is that okay? You know, I went through a very tough marriage, and I was in Dallas for about 12, 13 years, and then I got divorced. And me and my ex-wife, she was struggling with a lot of different things. And so my kid, my daughter, she ended up having to just be with me. And so she's here with me now, here in Commerce. But my grandmother, she, you know, she just, after all the stuff she struggled with, she just always was more concerned about what I had going on and if I was okay. And the thing that I can hang my hat on is that I met Christ before she passed, and she seen it. I know that she seen it in me, and it was in our conversations, and our interactions were more spiritual, and everything, you know, we talked about was about that. And, you know, that just gave me a lot of peace, knowing that she knew, okay, he's connected now, you know, he knows who the real one is, you know. And so, and then she passed a couple of years ago. So yeah, man, I could go on and on about it. She definitely is my best friend. I could tell her anything, talk to her about anything. But she lived her life. She ran a wonderful, wonderful race. She gives me courage to know that I can put one foot in front of the other and keep on going. If my grandmother can endure all that she had to endure, then I can finish my race too. And I think that that's the message from the cross. One of the messages, there's a few messages, but one of them that stands out is that, you know, Christ went through a lot. He went through a whole lot for us to be able to have salvation, you know, being beaten and then having to carry that humongous cross up Calvary, you know, in the heat of the day with people spitting on you and ridiculing you and all this stuff just to be, you know, get to the top of the hill and then be nailed to the cross and crucified. So, you know, I think that just tells us we are going to have a tough life while we're here. It's not a promise of all this, you know, and he did give us promises that I think will come to pass, but I think we fool ourselves if we think nothing's going to ever happen bad in our lives, you know, because I mean, a lot of bad happened to the one that we represent. So it's just about finishing it. You got to finish it. You got to see it through. And my grandmama showed me that. So she showed me that. Yeah, she showed me that.
Yes, sir.
That's my baby, man. Thank you. Welcome, brother.
Yes, thank you. That touched me when I read it. I love the perspective about hearing good and faithful servant. Why would we want them back? That blessed me, my brother, as well. Yes. Because that's what we're running this race for. So I just want to, you know, personally thank you right here on the podcast for sharing that perspective, allowing the Lord to use you. And also thank you for carrying your grandmother's legacy. Because if it touched me, I know it's going to touch others. So thank you, Kobe.
You're welcome, brother.
Yes, sir. And you are listening to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast with our special guest, Kobe Savage. When we come back after these messages, we will be hearing Kobe Savage's testimony.
Today is a great day to start your own podcast. Whether you're looking for a new marketing channel, have a message you want to share with the world, or just think it would be fun to have your own talk show, podcasting is an easy, inexpensive, and fun way to expand your reach online. Buzzsprout is hands down the easiest and best way to launch, promote, and track your podcast. Your show can be online and listed in all the major podcast directories like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and more within minutes of finishing your recording. If you want to upgrade, Buzzsprout has tons of guides to help you find the right equipment at the right price. Also, if you would like to receive a $20 gift card from Amazon, follow the link in the show notes and sign up for a paid plan. This will notify Buzzsprout that we sent you, and you'll receive more details. This will definitely help support our show. Podcasting isn't hard when you have the right partners, and the team at Buzzsprout is passionate about helping you succeed. Join over 100,000 podcasters who's already using Buzzsprout to get their message out to the world. Let's create something great together.
Welcome back to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast, family, where we are sitting down and chopping it up with Kobe Savage. As we move into this segue, I love to hear testimony, and so do our listeners. When did you have your coming to Jesus moment?
Well, I would say that when the situation with my nephew, situation with my marriage, situation with myself, you know, I was in such a dark place. I mean, dark. You know how you can be smiling and you're going about your daily functions, but you're in darkness. You know, you're walking around, it's sunny outside, but there's a cloud over you and it's raining. That was the part of my life that I was in. I had some success. I had some money. I had a place to stay. I had a car. So it wasn't those things. My grandmother was still alive. Normally I could call her and she could talk to me and things would be better. I couldn't call her in this situation. There was nothing that I was going to be able to do on my own that was going to get me out of the darkness. And there was nothing another human was going to be able to do. And so I just remember being at home and I was having all these different thoughts go through my head. And all of them was pretty much negative and geared against me. And I was just, as I said before, I was tired, extremely just tired. And
I remember just screaming out to him. And I was remember this, you know, I was just desperate, and the scream was a desperate scream. And I was saying to him, you know, if you're real, you know, why aren't you showing up? Like my grandmother said, that you help people, that you are the light, that you are this and that, you know, is all this stuff fake? All this, these people, my grandmother and all these people have been following you and going to church and doing all these things, and it's all fake. All this stuff is fake. You fooled all these people with this book, you know, and that's why I was it. And I was like, if you're real, I really need you to show up. Oh, I don't want to be a part of this anymore. There's no point in it. And it, you know, just saying that just now made me think of this, the poem by Solomon, the meaningless, you know, life is meaningless without God, you know, and that's where I was at. And so I just screamed out, and I can't explain the feeling, but there was a feeling that came over me. And I don't think I can remember that I could comprehend from it was that it was saying, it's okay. It's okay. I got you. And if you trust me, I'll show you. That's what I was feeling. If you trust me, I'll show you. And right after that, things really began to change. Things really, really began to change. Leading up to that, you know, I had been going to different churches, you know, here and there. And there was different people that would prophesy about me. But my unbelief was so deep within me that it just wouldn't go in one and not the other. I remember what they said, but I would always be like, you know, they don't know me. How could he say that about me? It's true. You know, I'm thinking in the inside, that's true. But how does he know that? Somebody in this church must have talked to him and said, hey, that guy Kobe, maybe someone was on my social media, maybe someone knows somebody that knows, and they told him this. But then I started saying, you know, all these guys is pretty much saying the same thing. And so I began to believe in what the word was saying. I began to read the word. I began to, as they say, like the Migos say, walk it like I talk it. And I began to see the actual power of Christ in my life. And when that happened, you know, it was on, because I've always been a loyal person. And, you know, now my loyalty was going to be attached to this new power that I'm experiencing. You know, I'm starting to see what I'm reading in the scripture actually happen in my real life. And he just started to change my heart and show me different things that I was doing incorrectly, mostly, and showing this is not the way to do it. Even stuff like loving my kids and loving myself, like I wasn't doing it the way that he wanted me to do it. And he just began to show me a lot of different things. And so I've just been going with him since. And with the music, I still love doing music. And I felt like that was something that he gave me to do, but I couldn't do it anymore the way that I was in the secular world. I said, man, I can't do it like that no more, Lord. But I feel like, you know, this is something that you gave me. But if you don't want me to do it, I don't want to waste any more time doing it. If you just want me to be on a street corner talking, or at a job just talking about you, whatever you want me to do, how big or small, I just want to be representing you. And at the time I was living in Garland, the studio I was going to was in Arlington, and I was paying, you know, a lot to go record. And then, you know, the drive, because I had hit when I gave my life to him, he had gave me a house out in Garland, because my wife was estranged from me, and you know, I still had these little kids, so he put me in a place to have these kids. And so I'm talking to him, and I'm just going back and forth with him, and so with the music, he ended up bringing some people that I hadn't seen in about 20 years, and they reached out to me through social media. And they said, man, I didn't even know you was rapping in college. Man, I'm doing this and doing that. It's like, yeah, I do a little rapping, man. And so now this is after I had been talking to God about whether I should continue doing it. Because I would say, well, with Arlington being so far, I just won't do it. But he sent this guy, and the guy was 15 minutes down the road in Mesquite. Mm. And so now I went over there to meet them, rap for them. They loved it and was like, you know, we're not even going to charge you. So I took that as a green light from God saying, no, I still want you to do this. I'm going to put you down the street where you're going to have to spend gas and you don't even have to pay to record anymore. And then fast forward, you know, maybe 3 years later, those same guys who I had just met, one of them I knew 20 years ago, but his team, I had just met them. And now we have a fully functioning studio over in South Dallas, 3631 Colonial in South Dallas, you know, what we do, you know, people come through and pay us to run their podcast through our location. The middle part of our building, people rent it out to do parties or sometimes shoot videos because we have like a big green screen there in the middle. And then the very back is the studio. And, you know, the other guys, you know, they were involved in the business, but they wasn't, you know, doing what I was doing with God at the time. So they may not have been looking at it that way. But for me, this was all the stuff that I was praying for. I wasn't praying for a studio, but I was praying for to be able to have my own thing and to be involved in something bigger than what I've been doing. I was asking for a new crowd, and I was asking for all these things. And God was like, he was just positioning me and doing these different things for me. He even gave me the PVO business through that. So there's a lot of things that happened right after I gave my life to him that has just confirmed me as I've continued to go on, kind of like they say, taking me from glory to glory. And but that was a lot, but that's pretty much my testimony. That's how I came into his marvelous light, was out of my, you know, my deep darkness.
Yes, sir. And thank you for sharing, Colby. We really appreciate that. I know that'll bless one of the listeners as it blessed me. And you are listening to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast with our special guest, Colby Savage. Stay locked in as we'll be back after these messages.
Hey, family. I hope you're enjoying the show. In order to change the culture for God through media, we have plenty of opportunities for you to grow with us on the bookkeeper247.com. Do you need production for your podcast or YouTube video? Look no further. We got you. Do you want to do album reviews? Start your own podcast? Write your own devotionals? Look no further. We got you. Do you want to report Christian news from hip-hop to book reviews, as well as related topics in our culture? Look no further. We got you. By partnering with us, we can do all these things for the glory of God. Email us at thebookkeeper247@gmail.com and let's start making strides to influence the culture from a godly perspective. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast, family, where we are sitting down and chopping it up with Colby Savage. I seen in a video where you talked about your early influences in music and also how big underground hip hop is in Texas. In that same video, it seemed like you were at a UGK event with a tribute to Pimp C as you spoke with his moms after his passing. How do people react to the changes in the direction of your music now?
Most people were not supportive of it. Most people, especially my homies and stuff, they was like, well, you know, why are you doing that? Just not as supportive as before. People not, you know, coming to shows and stuff like that if I have different events, which is fine. There was a few people that just understood. They understood. But I would say for the most part, you know, it was no understanding. All my friends pretty much left. I think a lot of it has to do maybe with getting older. But one thing that I will say, you know, when I gave my life to Christ, it was very lonely after that because he put me by myself, you know. I think and I don't blame anybody, but I just think when I started doing that, you know, people kind of shied away or like, I'm not doing that. And, you know, I don't want to maybe be around him and being, you know, cursing or talking crazy and he ain't trying to hear that. Or I think I felt more like that, just people jumping ship because they was like, he's doing something completely different than what we're doing. And then I'm very open with it. I say it, I talk about it.
because I'm so excited about it that I'm still excited about it from the first day when he saved me, that I, you know, I do let people know about it on social media. I let people know about it through my music now. I let people know about it in conversation because I want them to know that there's somebody that can help you. You know, there's somebody there if you need some help. And I love him. I love him and his word so much because he said, hey, you know, you tried everything else. Why don't you just try me? Like, put me to the test and see if I'm good. You know, and I put it to the test, tasted it. It was sweet. And I can't just keep that to myself. So I think my openness about it and the change was so dramatic that a lot of people just was like, I ain't with that. But then he slowly began to bring me around people that were believers, people that are believers.
Amen. Yeah, you made me think about, you know, how the Lord will separate us, right? You know, the enemy like us to be lonely too, but I, when you were speaking, I was thinking of how in the scripture, the Old Testament, how he talks about separating the wheat from the chaff, right? And that's probably, even though I know I'm using that out of context, all my Bible scholars out there, but that made me, you know, you made me think about that. He had to, and there's Proverbs that support what we're saying too, that circle around us, it changes when we make changes, and God will help us change them circles and get into them godly circles that we need to be in to be able to carry on. Like, my circle's not big, it's small, but the brothers and sisters, including my mother, and I'm looking at this in a spiritual lens, man, my circle's so godly. It's amazing the people and the godly people that the Lord has surrounded me with now.
Yes, because we need that support. You know, we need people who are like-minded, you know, like the scripture says, how can two walk together unless they agree? It just helps us to be around other people that are believers. I think it encourages us and it motivates us to be around people who love Jesus and are showing that through how they live as well. But yeah, I mean, you know, Moses had a season where he was in solitude and, you know, he was away from what he was used to being around, the people that he was used to being around. God put him around in the desert, then he put him around new people, then he brought him back to do a work for him. So, I mean, you look at Jonah, you know, denied the call of God, and he was put inside a whale, put inside in darkness. So I think it's just a season where God is, he says, you know, I need to show you how to talk. I need to show you how to represent me in public. When you do go around, even if you do go back around your friends, you need to be strong enough to shine my light that someone in your circle may be drawn into that light too. Because I personally feel that when God saves us and when he calls us, then he's calling us to do a work for him. He's not calling us to be saved and just be comfortable in our own situation, but I'm calling you to strengthen you and to empower you to go out and spread the good news in such a way that other people will, you know, fall into the same in the same type of groove as you. They'll come into the light, and then they'll take their light back to the darkness in their neighborhoods and offer that same light. You know, that's kind of how I look at it.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Yeah, I love that story of Moses and Jonah. Running from God, still ended up on the shores of Nineveh, still had an attitude, right? He went and did what God told him to do, but he still had the raw attitude till the tree had to dry up for the shade, right? So, yeah, I think a lot of us have been there.
Some of us are just like that, you know? That's right.
Yes, sir. Once again, this is the Bookkeeper 247 podcast with your host, Daryl Kemp. We are sitting down with an exclusive interview with Christian hip-hop artist Kobe Savage. Stay tuned, and we will be back after these messages to talk about his latest project from Kobe Savage entitled Positive Parables, the PVO album, Volume 2.
Yes, sir. You already know what's going on, man. Say, man, shine on me, the soul of the city. I'm locked in to the Bookkeeper 24/7. We in there. It's up there and it's stuck there, you hear me?
Welcome back to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast, family, where we are sitting down and chopping it up with independent Christian hip-hop artist Kobe Savage. In this segue, I'd like to talk about your latest project, Positive Parables, the PVO album, Volume 2. Some of my favorite tracks were Give Me Peace, Wonder Woman, I Survive, Undefeated, Good Morning, God Is For You, Blue Collar, that one grew on me. Count It Up, That's Me, and One Life. I think that's almost the whole album.
That's almost the whole
which is a good thing.
That is so awesome.
Yes, sir.
That's glory to God.
Yes, sir.
Glory to God, man.
What is your creative process like when putting a 12-track project together like Positive Parables, the PVO album, Volume 2?
Well, you know, the only thing that I regret on that album is I shouldn't have used some of the songs that I used, maybe one or two songs, I think, maybe one song. Two songs. It was songs that I had recorded a while back. And sometimes I get to a point where, because I hate to record music and not use it, especially if it's, you know, decent. So I think I did that on a couple of tracks on there. But my normal process is once I get in the mood to write something, especially if I come across a beat that I'm really feeling and the music kind of just comes. Because normally if I get a beat that I really like, the music will just really fall right out of me. And then once I get going, then I kind of try to do songs that are in that same vein with the other songs that I've been doing. So it'll be a collective of songs that I can put together on the project. But I like to do most of my stuff at home by myself. You know, I kind of put the beat on and just vibe out, and I'll come with the chorus or the verse first, and then I go into the studio and pretty much knock it out. So Positive Parables Volume 2 was kind of the same way. I just started recording a few songs. I really wanted to do a feature with Brian T because I follow Kingdom Music and what they're doing. I love their ministry and how they represent our Lord and Savior. So I reached out to Brian and we did the I Survive song and shot the video for it. And it came out really good. People were receptive to it. And the Give Me Peace song with brother P.A. Chico. P.A. Chico is a young guy from New York. And he actually just reached out to me on Instagram. And I had already written the song. And so I sent it to him. And he, you know, sent it right back, recorded it on his phone just to kind of give me a blueprint or a skeleton of what it would sound like. So I liked it. And then he went to the studio and dropped his vocals, sent it to me. I went to my studio and mixed it. Everybody was feeling it. And I had never been to New York, so flew out to New York, shot the video with him. And then we put that on the project that you mentioned too. And so then I got a couple more features. I got a guy that I had met at the Essence Fest a few years ago. I was down there performing, met a guy by the name of Brandon JP's God's Pen. He lives in Florida. Flew down, shot some visuals with him, not on the project that we're discussing now, but on a previous project. But he is on that song, singing the chorus on the God Is For You song. So, yeah, my process, man, I like soulful beats. I like beats that really just kind of touch my soul, you know, got a really good groove to it. And then I get on there and do what I do. So, yeah, that project is out right now and it's available on pretty much all platforms. And I'm like 7 songs in on Volume 3. And I know we're talking about Volume 2. But Volume 3, man, it's going to be so much better. All the songs are going to be new songs. I'm not using nothing old or trying to fit nothing in just to try to fill up an album or whatever. So this time it's going to be better. And the songs are, to me right now, are better. I'm loving what I'm doing right now. So just continuing to work, man, just continuing to work and to press forward. And I'm just so thankful that people like you. I did an interview last night with a guy in Plano, and I'm just so thankful for you guys that you guys are hearing what I'm saying. You guys are hearing Christ in it, and you guys are motivating me to continue doing it because I've been doing music for a long time, but now doing it for Christ has remotivated me, rejuvenated me, and I'm just My whole goal and purpose is just to spread the good news, man. Even if it just touches one or two people, I'm not trying to be popular, not trying to be the biggest nothing. I just want to, like, as I said in that message about my grandmother, with the time that I have left, and I don't, none of us know how much time we have left. You know, my nephew died at 16. My grandma died at 80 something. So we don't know. We might live a long time, might live a short time. But right now, in this moment that I've given my life to Christ and have this new, real, real active relationship, all I want to do is serve him and spread the good news while I'm here.
Yes, sir. I'm glad you mentioned Brian T, because I Survived is one of my favorite tracks on that album. And we only have a few minutes left, but if my partner out there listening, Hugh Holler, another Christian hip hop artist, wanted me to ask you this question, he'd kill me if I didn't ask. What was it like working with Brian T from Kingdom Music?
It was cool. It was actually cool. You know, he's very busy. He's a very, very busy man. You know, he does a lot of preaching. If you follow him, see, he does music, but he does a lot of preaching. They travel, and they're doing a lot of stuff for the Lord. So I sent him the song, and I think it was a couple weeks, maybe 2 or 3 weeks, and then he sent his vocals back. I loved it, of course, and then we were able to get together, shoot the video. And when I met him in person, he definitely is the real deal, in my opinion. So far as just the vibe that I felt in his energy, you know, we prayed before the video started. We prayed afterwards. He gave me a gift. He brought me one of the Kingdom Music family coats or whatever. And we had a good time. And I'm actually going to be doing a show with them in Waco, Texas, September the 17th. It's not his show, but he's on the show performing. But I'm performing. I think the guy that put it together is Gospel Ready. He's out of Oak Cliff. He's another guy, you know, has a strong testimony, and he's doing a lot of great things for the kingdom of God. So we're just continuing to work, man, and hopefully me and Kingdom Music will be doing some more music in the future too.
Yes, sir. Man, to piggyback off of that and everything you shared today, it would be wrong for me not to bring this up as we close out. Can you share real quick before we close out with the people about your mentoring program you have for the kids where you at?
Yes, the mentoring program is something that God placed on my heart. I have never done anything like it before, so I was, to be honest with you, a little nervous, little weary about it, but it just kept nagging at me. I think it all started from, you know, that season we went through where there was so much police and community violence and where the interactions just was going not good, people getting killed or arrested or whatever. So I just remember when I went through that phase of my life when I was young, and I'll never forget that when I decided to start, and not saying that this works in all situations, I'm speaking in general, but when I decided to respond to the officers that would pull me over in a different way, when I started to respond a different way, more respectful way, then it always worked out in my favor. It always worked out in my favor for the most part. So it started from that. I wanted to have almost like a boys club type of program where, you know, how they take kids out into the woods and show them how to survive and make fires. Well, I wanted to do the same thing with kids in the inner city, but showing them how to interact with authorities, you know, because if you don't have a gun on you, and you're not just, I guess, ready to kill whoever, a cop or whatever, then, you know, you should be trying to, you know, just get the situation over with. Let him go on by this way, and you go on about your way. You know what I'm saying? And so that's kind of where the desire started. But we started it's called It Takes a Village. And we're just, you know, we're doing it for young men between the ages of 10 to 21. We've had a few young men sign up so far, and we're just teaching them life skills, you know, changing the tire, how to dress for an interview, how to create your resume, how to, you know, look a man in his eye when you talk to him, the correct handshakes.
you know, different little things that kids may not be getting at home if there is a daddy that's not around. And so that's what the program, that's what the program is about. I have no just specific goals for it. We're just still brand new, but it's just something that, like I said, it was on my heart, and I just want to help, man. I want to help, because I know I could have used a few different things when I was a young man growing up. And, you know, most of the time when we sit around and we talk about how the younger generation is going and how they're just so different from us and none of them are listening and everything, but no one's doing anything. And so I just want to do my little part. Every little part helps. When you do something little in your community, influence someone else to do it in their community, and it's just like a chain effect.
Amen. Yeah, thank you, Kobe. Last thing, fam, let the people know where they can follow you at, cop your music, your merch, and everything like that before we get out of here.
Awesome. Again, man, pleasure, straight blessing to be on here with you, bro. Great energy, man, and couldn't be more happy, to be honest with you. It was early this morning, but this was a good early morning wake up, man. I feel like we done praised God together almost. But no, you can find my music just Amen. By searching my name, Kobe Savage. That is my government name. That's not my stage name. Just search Kobe, Colby, last name Savage, Savage. If you Google that, you'll be able to find links for my music. You can also go to my website, ColbySavage.com. If you want merchandise, PVO merchandise, you can go to the PVOLife.com, PVOLIFE.com. You can also order directly through me on my Instagram under Kobe J Savage, or on my Facebook under Kobe Savage. And we do ship merchandise, so definitely holler at me if you're looking for some positive vibe only merchandise.
Yes, sir. And we'll have all the links in the show notes, family. And you know where you can find us at? Go to your favorite web browser, put in hashtag TBK247, and I guarantee we'll pop up everywhere. Kobe, thank you for joining us, my brother. You're right. I did feel like we worshiped early together this morning. I pray that the Lord keeps using you, using your ministry, using your energy, using your know-how, using your strength, using your mentoring program, and everything that you put your hands on, brother. I hope that God continues to use you to move forward the kingdom. Thank you again, my brother, and you have a great Father's Day weekend, and we're out.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Thank you for joining us. Remember, you can help us by liking, sharing, commenting, and subscribing. We are on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, AudioMac, and many more platforms. If you would like to donate a monetary blessing, go to the description located inside the show notes. There, you will have an opportunity to give a one-time blessing or monthly if you choose. Basically, whatever the Lord puts on your heart to give will be very much appreciated. The donations will help our ministry help others, as well as our growth regarding better equipment, so that we can spread the word of God even further. Thank you again, and until next time, God bless. God bless. God bless. God bless.